Well, hi everyone, and it's great to have you tuning in with us. My name's Mark, and it's brilliant to be able to kick off this new series looking at the character of Moses and how we follow God into the unknown. And I guess if nothing else, this past year has shown us that life is a journey into the unknown. You know, we all like to think, don't we, that we can plan our lives. We all like to think that we know what's going to happen. So we plan ahead days, weeks, months, maybe years as to what we want the future to look like. But we know that we can't really do that. And you know what? Deep down, I think that perhaps we all know that as well. Now that's why insurance policies are so huge, aren't they? They're planning for the uncertain, just hedging our bets in case things don't turn out the way we want them to. Life is a journey into the unknown, and particularly now. These next few months are so uncertain, aren't they? When are schools going to reopen? What impact is this going to have on the NHS? What about some of our local businesses? When can we book a holiday? When is the barbers going to open so I can get a trim? It's uncertain. We don't know. I find this picture quite helpful. You know, because I'm picturing this time at the moment as if we're all going on a long hike. And we've been walking and we've got to the top of a hill. And this is the view in front of us. A new landscape that we can't really see because the clouds are so thick. And we can't really suss out what's to come the other side of this hill. Is it going to be boggy and marshy? Or is it going to be rocky and dry? Are there more hills ahead of us that we're going to have to climb? Is there a town there where we can get a break and get something to eat? For me, this is what these next few months look like. We know something's ahead of us. We're just not quite sure. And so the challenge for us, and as men and women of faith, men and women who are following God, is how do we navigate our way through the unknown, through this new landscape? What does it look like to hold on to God at this time? And so to help us, we're going to be looking at the character of Moses, who was a man who knew what it was to follow God in the unknown. Now, Moses' story is found in the book of Exodus. That's the second book of the Bible. And if you've got your Bibles, maybe you want to turn to it now. Because today, we're going to skim through chapter 1 and chapter 2 and get a grip of who Moses was and how life kicked off in the unknown for him. You know, the book of Exodus, for Jewish rabbis, they refer to it even today as the book of names. Because if you're looking at it there, you'll see that at the start of chapter 1, there's just a list of names. They are the names of the sons of Jacob. These were those who brought their families into Egypt to avoid a famine that was happening in the land of Canaan where they lived. And one of these men who brought his family into Egypt was Joseph, a great Old Testament character of the Bible. We haven't got time to go into his story today, but Joseph worked his way up and became the second most important person in Egypt. He was like the prime minister of Egypt. He was smart, he was clever, God gave him wisdom, and he directed the nation of Egypt through the famine without too many problems. He brought a huge blessing onto the nation of Egypt. And so, in turn, his family and his brothers and their families, all listed at the start of chapter 1, they were blessed by the Egyptians too. They lived a prosperous life. They were Hebrews or Israelites living there. And because they were prosperous, they grew in number. And historians estimate that maybe between 2 or 3 million Israelites or Hebrews were living in Egypt at this time. Life was good. That is until a new king or a pharaoh came in charge who didn't know who Joseph was. And he was threatened by them. It says this in Exodus 1 verses 8 to 10. Then a new king to whom Joseph meant nothing came to power in Egypt. Look, he said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them or they will become our enemies. Fight against us and leave the country. And as chapter 1 unfolds, we find that several things start to happen to the Israelites. Pharaoh enslaves them, and this word ruthlessly is used at that point. And then he goes a step further. In fact, he commands the midwives, the Israelite midwives, to kill any boys that are born at birth. The midwives work a way around that, and Pharaoh susses this out. So then it becomes even stricter, and he says to the whole of the Egyptian nation, if an Israelite boy is born, drown them in the Nile. It's horrific. Life has changed, maybe even overnight, for the Israelites living in Egypt. It's horrendous. There is fear, they're oppressed, there is death. It's chaos. And it's into this situation that Moses is born. We read that Moses' mum, knowing what is going on, fearing for her son's life, hides him for 3 months. But I guess at 3 months it's becoming harder to keep him a secret. So she makes the desperate decision at that point to put him in a basket and to float him on the Nile, hoping that maybe he would escape and somebody might find him. It just so happens, because see, God's hand at work at this point, that Pharaoh's daughter spots him. Moses' sister is watching from a distance. She watches Pharaoh's daughter pick him up out of the basket. Moses' sister suggests that maybe an Israelite lady could come and look after and nurse for Moses. And so we find that Moses' mum is then involved in his upbringing. It says this in chapter 2, 7 to 10. Then Moses' sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. When the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. And then Moses' story jumps. About 40 years. He's a grown man, and we don't really hear much about him growing up in Pharaoh's palace. But when he's 40, there are two crucial events that turn the course of his life. And Ed Hendry's going to read from the book of Acts a little summary of what happened to Moses at this point.
Hey everyone, today's reading comes from Acts chapter 7, verses 23 through 29. When Moses was 40 years old, he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian, so he went to his defence and avenged him by killing the Egyptian. Moses thought that his own people would realise that God was using him to rescue them, but they didn't. The next day Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, men, you are brothers, why are you trying to hurt each other? But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday? When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons.
So, two crucial events that we've heard there turn the course of Moses' life. What are those events? Well, first of all, he kills a man. And because he's killed a man, he has to run away. Overnight, Moses' predictable, comfortable, very plush, status-filled life is lost forever. And at this point, Moses faces an unknown future. And this is what we're going to be digging into over these coming weeks. What can we learn from Moses? Well, the first thing we can learn from him is that following God into the unknown meant that Moses experienced loss. He experienced loss in a huge way. His impulsive, his impetuous actions in killing that man have cost him everything. He thought he was going to be a hero, rescuing a man who was being beaten to death. But he goes from hero to zero within 24 hours. A prince of Egypt to a man running for his life, a fugitive. Just think about what he's lost for a moment in doing that. He's lost his family. He's lost his home. He's lost his friends. His belongings. He's lost his status, maybe even his future and his dreams that he had. All gone like that. You know, I was trying to think, is there a modern equivalent of someone who's kind of fallen from a great height? And, you know, as a sports fan, I was thinking of characters like Lance Armstrong, who was an incredible cyclist, and then lost it all through taking drugs and performance-enhancing substitutes. I was thinking about the South African athlete Oscar Pistorius. He was top of his field and then lost it all. This is the kind of fall from grace we're looking at. It's tragic. And the sense of loss to Moses would have been huge. I wonder if you can relate to that. If you've ever had a moment where life has just changed, where a phone call, a knock at the door has meant you've experienced what it is to lose. And then, of course, to compound this sense of loss, Moses then experiences delay. He runs from Pharaoh and he finds himself in the country of Midian. And the Bible tells us that Moses was there for the next 40 years. You know, I'm struggling with us approaching a year in lockdown and the sense of that delay and frustration. But 40 years? You know, Moses had intervened, the Bible says, hoping that the Israelites would see him as their saviour, see him as their rescuer. But instead, they turn on him. And there's a sense here that Moses would have known his purpose in life, that God wanted him to rescue his people from slavery. Yet all that is put on hold for 40 years. What a waste of time. How frustrating that must have been. Again, can you relate to that? I guess we all can over this past year. This sense that somebody's pushed a pause button. And we can't get on with what we were created to do, with what God wants us to do. What a waste. What a waste. You know, the truth is that as you and I choose to follow God into the unknown, as we choose to do life with Him, each one of us will experience loss and delay. I suspect most of us already have to a certain extent. Neither of them are nice. And we do our best to try and avoid them, to try and deny them, to try and dodge our way around them. If we're honest, most of us see loss and delay as like alien invaders into our comfortable lives. Where's that come from, we feel? I don't want that. I don't want to deal with that. Our comfortable lives are turned chaotic when we lose. Our predictable lives are turned chaotic when there is delay. But you know, a look at Moses' life helps us to view loss and delay very differently. You see, I believe, and we can see in Moses' story, that loss and delay are places that we can grow. Loss and delay are tools that God uses to shape us and mould us. God, I don't think, always causes loss and delay, but he can certainly use them for our benefit. There's two quick thoughts as we begin to finish. The first one is this, is that as we follow God into the unknown, loss builds our dependence on God. You know, unlike any other experience in life, I think loss causes us to look deep within ourselves. And I mean any sort of loss at this point. It can be bereavement, where we've lost somebody that we love and care about. It could be a job. It could be financial loss. It could be health. Maybe a relationship. Any loss like that causes us to look deep within ourselves because it hurts. Because it causes us pain, it brings us up short. And at that point, I believe we've got a decision to make. We can either ignore it and try and push the pain away and pretend it hasn't happened. Or we can acknowledge that it's painful and we can open ourselves up to God. David, King David, was a man who knew what it was to lose. He lost so much in his life. And at a point where he was grieving, he says this in Psalm 42. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you. O God, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night. What's happening to David in this moment? Well, he's grieving, he's in pain. He says, you know, I'm crying day and night. But what does he do? He turns to God and says, God, I need you. I need you in this moment. This has led to a deeper dependence on God. God, I'm out. I've tried everything. I've got nothing left. I've lost it all. God, I need you. I depend on you. You know, for many of us, this past year has been tough. It's been hard on me. And I know towards the end of last year, I started to realise that it was having quite an impact on me. You know, the people that we've lost as a church family this year, and my grief for them was weighing heavy. My own grief for the way that my life had changed, not being able to go out so much. And I'm honest, my grief over my job changing. I didn't want to lead a church online. And so that was painful as well. And I found myself at a point just saying to God, this hurts. This is painful. God, I need you like I've never needed you before. God, I depend on you like I've never depended on you before. I'm out. I've got nothing left to give. Grief and loss has the capacity, if we allow it, to drive us to depend on God more. Now, the Bible tells us that in our weakness, if you like, in our loss, God is made strong. Moses, his whole life, God had positioned him to be the rescuer of Israel, to release them from slavery. You know, if Moses, the prince of Egypt, had done that and released the Israelites from slavery, who would he have depended on? Who would he have thought had done that? Probably himself. But who does Moses, the man who's been living in a wilderness and lost everything for 40 years, turn to and depend on? He depends on God. He's got nothing else to give. I want to encourage you as you follow God in the unknown and as you experience loss, don't deny it. Don't pretend it's not there. Call it what it is. Acknowledge that pain and then turn to God open yourself up. As the deer pants for the water, God, so my soul longs for you. I depend on you. And allow God, just like he did in Moses, to grow your dependence on him. Don't see it as an alien invader. See it as something that God can use. And delay is a time to learn from God. You know, when the pause button is pushed, just as it has in the last year, it can mean chaos for us. It throws our plans into jeopardy. That's what's happened to each one of us. And one of our members, Steve Bridge, has sent a video in of his story of delay in the last year. For those of you who don't know Steve, Steve is the director of the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem, in Israel. That's where he should be at the moment. But here Steve tells his story of where he is at the moment.
Well, nearly 11 months ago, I returned to the UK for a board meeting in London, leaving behind the team I was leading in Jerusalem at the Garden Tomb. 2 days after getting back, I was rushed into hospital with a heart condition I didn't know I had. So that was an interesting diversion from the plan. And by the time I was well enough to return to Israel, I couldn't because of COVID. And I've been here ever since. Multiple times I've had to change my plans for return, cancelling tickets and rearranging flights. So it's been a very, very interesting year. Another challenge that I've faced this year is the challenge of realising that just because I'm now only a mile away from two of my kids and one of my two granddaughters, I can't actually get my hands on them. I can see them, but I can't get my hands on them, can't eat with them, touch them, walk with them, all those things that I love doing, Sue and I love doing when we return to the UK. That's changed. So near and yet so far. Now, these things have brought challenges that I'd never particularly faced before. Like all of us, we've faced new challenges this last year. And what have I learned through it? Well, I've learned that I'm not as patient as I thought I was. It's easy to be patient when life's going well. I've learned that, maintaining the disciplines of reading the Bible and praying are as important when you can't function in your normal ministry as when you can. Because fundamentally that's about a relationship with Father and relationship with Lord and King. And that relationship has to grow, or else it withers. And so I found new challenges and new solutions around maintaining relationship with God. I found that daily walks are really important. I've learned that being an active waiter, not a passive waiter, not sitting back and waiting for life to happen, but going and finding the new solution, the new active way of waiting for things to return to whatever the new normal will be. I've learned that I still love the job I feel called to. I love the family I can't see. I love my wife. I love the team that I'm now having to lead via Zoom. Can't wait to get back to them. But so many things that I want to return to normal, I have no control over. Wait patiently on the Lord. Wait and do not fret. The eternal command. And we wait for the one who loves us. And he waits for us as we wait with him.
Thanks, Stephen. We will be praying for you as you follow God in the unknown. Pray you'll be back in Jerusalem soon. And as we follow God into the unknown future, there will be times, I'm really sorry, but there will be times of frustration and delay in your life and in mine. And these do feel like these alien invasions. They feel like that because, do you know what? Our culture doesn't allow for delay, really, does it? We're living in a culture where everything comes in an instant when we want it. Our Amazon Prime lives demand instant. It's unavoidable, though. Delay will come. Sometimes God causes it. Sometimes it's just part of life. But I wonder, how are you going to choose to see those delays? Steve has, as we've just heard, has shifted his focus on what this delay is. God has taught him so much. I want to encourage you to take some time today, if you haven't done this already, maybe grab a pen and a piece of paper. Just reflect on the last year. What have you learned at this time? What has God taught you? How have you grown as a person? And if you're a Christian, how have you grown as a Christian during this time? I think you'll be amazed at what you have learned. Moses was in Midian for 40 years, and this was a time of learning for him. What did he learn to do? He learned to be a shepherd. That's what he learned to do. It says that Moses would take his father-in-law Jethro's sheep, and he would lead that flock to the far side of the wilderness. That's quite a journey. He was an expert shepherd during this time. 40 years learning to be a shepherd. And what does Moses spend the next 40 years of his life doing? Shepherding Israel. He had become exactly the type of man, exactly the type of leader that the Israelites would need to guide them out of slavery and into the promised land. And just like his sheep, the Israelites were a stubborn people that often needed herding and controlling. And all those lessons he learned over those 40 years were exactly who he needed to be. You see, God doesn't just put his hand on a person and say, right, I'm going to use you now to do this or to do that. No, in his grace, he puts his hand on a person and he says, I'm going to teach you, I'm going to mold you, I'm going to shape you to do the tasks I want you to be. And when you're ready, then I will use you. And often the tools that God uses to shape and mould us are loss and delay. I don't like it. I wish he could do something else. I wish he didn't have to. But these are the tools that God uses. And one of the most hopeful verses in the Bible is Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes. What does God use? All things. What does all things include? Everything. That is loss. That is delay. God, as we follow him, as we recognise that we're called according to his purposes, as we turn our lives to him, as we open ourselves and depend on him, God says, I'm going to bring good out of loss. I'm going to bring learning out of delay. And my prayer for you and for each one of us over these coming weeks and months as we follow God into this immediate unknown future is that we will know his hand upon us. And at moments of loss, we will say, God, I want to learn to depend on you more. And at times where we're frustrated and it feels like the pause button has been pressed, we will turn to him and say, God, what do you want me to learn at this time? How are you shaping and moulding me? Let's learn from Moses and his story as we follow God into the unknown.